walking down a memory lane of Pat so long ago. Old Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply: "You're right. For all the things I've done, I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood." Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
Hey, thank you.
Thank God for the blood.
Yes.
Without the blood, there would be no remission for our sins. But I'm thankful that Jesus shed his perfect, spotless, undefiled blood to wash away all our sin. And it'll be a real good day in your life when you discover that it's all your sin. Past, present, and future.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You ought to go right in there.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank God for the fact that our sins are forever gone. Took care of. Whoops. That ain't gonna come out of there. Try to sing you a song that has been right precious to me. A whole lot of folks have requested this song over the years. 10 years ago, our daughter was married to a fine young man down in South Mississippi. probably the worst thing I know about that young man was he came to North Carolina and married my daughter and moved her off to Mississippi. We'd watched him grow up. His family had been friends of ours for years. His family had come to the Singing in the Smokies. We'd been down to sing for them, been to their house. Matter of fact, the first time we saw him, he was just a tiny baby, 6 months old. Never dreamed he would wind up being our son-in-law. Our daughter and he kind of grew up together, and they were best friends long distance. Well, she went off to college, was asked to marry somebody else. He found out about it. He got in his little pickup truck down South Mississippi, drove all the way to our house. Came in and said, "I don't want you to marry that other dude. I want you to marry me, because I've always loved you." So she told the other dude bye. They were married, and 10 years ago, June 24th, they had a precious little baby girl, our first granddaughter. 27 days later, the Lord took our son-in-law from us. We didn't understand, and still don't understand. But it made absolutely no sense. He was 24 years old, had a brand new baby girl. He was the song leader in their little country church and taught Sunday school. And everybody loved him. Made no sense. November of that year, I had the privilege to be in a meeting with Dr. Craig Edwards in Noonan, Georgia. And he said, "I got this song that's on my heart that I've written that for some reason I need to sing to you." He started singing this song. He didn't know what had happened to us. While he was singing this song, the Spirit of God got so real and so powerful, I couldn't hear him sing. As the Word of God and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, "I've got a better plan than you do. I've always had a better plan than you'll ever have. My ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts." You see, my son-in-law got promoted.
Amen.
Amen. Death for the child of God is a promotion, not a punishment for anybody. And so we began to sing this song then. It's been amazing what God's done with it. Watch people drive for over 1,000 miles to get to hear it in person, because they had heard it on the radio. Because of someone in their life precious to them that had been taken away, they drove over 1,000 miles to get to hear this song in person. It's amazing how many people are grieving over those that have been promoted. If we only could get a tiny glimpse of where they are, and what they're enjoying right now, it would make us envious of what they're doing. Yeah. Have you prayed for a loved one struggling hard with pain? You ask the Lord for their healing, but that healing never came. And in spite of all your efforts, the good Lord called them home. It's hard to let go when you're trying to hold on. Now you're down in the valley, looking up to the sky. And you're praying, Lord, you know what's best. I just don't understand why. If you could hear your loved one speaking now to you, they'd say, you wouldn't be grieving if you only knew. If you only knew. I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered. All my sickness is gone. Things look so much better from heaven's view. The sun always shines. We're having a time. If you only knew. Hey. To be absent from this body is present with the Lord. I'm in the arms of Jesus now, and I'll never suffer anymore. Hand in hand, we're going to stroll together down heaven's avenue. And oh, what a celebration, if you only knew. If you only knew. I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered. All my sickness is gone. Things look so much better from heaven's view. The sun always shines. We're having a time. If you only knew. Things look so much better from heaven's view. Here the S-O-N always shines. And we're having a time. If you only knew.
Amen.
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 I really have done Brother Craig a disservice. I should have taken the time all these years to write down in a book for him the things that people have told me about that song and how it's affected their family or affected them. But I didn't. I didn't take the time to do that. But one day in heaven, everybody that's heard that song and it was a blessing to them will come around and thank him for writing it. I guarantee you that.
Amen.
We were up in Pennsylvania singing at a Church of the Alliance. I don't know anything about them other than they're very quiet. And we had been singing for about 30 minutes, I guess, and it looked like to me we was having a real good practice session because they were just sitting there looking at us. And anyway, we've been singing about 30 minutes, and we did that song, and it was obvious God began to do something. Because all at once they started putting their arms around each other and comforting one another, and handkerchiefs began to come out and dry eyes, and the Holy Ghost was doing some things for people's hearts. When the service was over, we were standing out in the vestibule, and a lady about probably 75 years old came and stood about 10 foot away from me, holding her pocketbook in her hand real formally like, and just stood there and looked a hole right through me. After a few minutes of that, I left my post and I walked over and I said, "Ma'am, is there something I can do for you?" She said, "No, but there might be something I can do for you." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm a candidate. Go right ahead." She said, "My husband of some 50 years, 3 months ago, died in my arms." And she said, "I have been so distraught and so upset because of all the many years and all the great and wonderful times we have had together. He never got to tell me bye. And I never got to tell him bye." She said, "But tonight while you sung that song, I heard him say, bye. I'm doing fine." I had run chill bumps up and down my spine big enough to hang a hat on. Because it was obvious God had done something very special for her. She said, "I got to hear him say, bye. I'm doing fine." She said, "And now that I know that he's doing fine, I'll be fine too."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 7. Gospel of John chapter number 7. Bless his name. Back just below where we were last night. I want to read verses 40 through 46. And I'll ask all of you that are able and will stand as we read. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said," yeah, you've always got some, "'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said, the Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?'" It's obvious they didn't know who he was. "So there was a division among the people because of him." And let me put this in right here. There's more of a division today than there ever has been before.
Amen.
Because of him. "And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." It wasn't time yet. "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees and said unto them, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officers answered, 'Never man spake like this man.'" Father, in Jesus' name, I pray the Holy Spirit of God might help us right now to rightly divide your word. Lord, we need you. You've promised that you would never leave nor forsake, that you'd always be there as a present help in time of trouble. We need you now. Our lives are in trouble because of men's hearts failing them and turning away from God. I pray you might help each one of us tonight to draw nigh unto thee, that you might draw nigh unto us. Strengthen us, enable us, and make us to be a blessing, we pray. All that you do, we'll give you praise and honor and glory and world without end, because we ask it in the name above all others, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you for standing. Never man spake like this man. I think that we could all pretty much agree that no one has ever spoken like the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke. He called the cosmos out of chaos. He called order out of confusion. He separated the light from the darkness just by the word of his mouth. Everything that we know came to be. In him, everything was made that was made. And without him was not anything made that was made. It's all because of him.
Amen.
His is the voice of creation.
Right.
His is the voice of salvation. His is the voice of resurrection.
Amen.
No one has ever spoken like the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one will ever speak like him.
Amen.
There will never be another to compare to him. There's none like him. No, not one. He spoke to the sick and they were healed. He spoke to the suffering and they were satisfied. He spoke to the soiled and they were cleansed. He spoke to the down and out and they were lifted up. He spoke to the desperate and they were given hope.
Amen.
He spoke to the demoniac, and they were delivered.
Amen.
He spoke to the despised, and they found love. He spoke to the troubled, and they found peace. He spoke to the tempted, and they found a way of escape.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
These Pharisees and Sadducees had the authority to send officers to go and arrest Jesus, to bring him in, because they wanted to be able to question him, to talk with him, and to say something to him that he might say something back, that they would have aught against him, that they would begin to control the crowd that had begun to hear what Jesus had to say. You see, everywhere Jesus went, everywhere he went, he was doing good. And the words that were coming out of his mouth were opening blinded eyes and causing the lame to get up and walk and even raising the dead.
Right.
And they wanted to somehow curtail this and shut it down, because they were upset that Jesus was becoming far more popular than they were.
That's right.
The religious order wanted everything put back like it was, so they would have their top-notch priority. That the folks would be coming to them, that they would receive a notch in their crown. But Jesus had come on the scene, and they wanted to do away with him. They didn't believe in him, even though they came to him by night to ask him questions. Many of them still did not believe in him.
That's right.
Yet they couldn't say anything bad about him, because the people were seeing good things coming from him. He went about doing good. He never did anything wrong. Amen. That'll get you back somewhere. He never did anything wrong. Not one time did he ever have to recant anything that he said or anything that he did, because everything that he did was directed of God.
Amen.
Yes. And it was right.
That's right.
It was truth, because he is the truth himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And everything that he was doing was causing life to be better for somebody else.
Amen.
Every word that proceeded out of his mouth caused people to take notice that this was not some ordinary man. The officers came and they got to hear him speak. They had come there with orders to arrest him. They had the authority to take him back, and he was supposed to be chastised by the Sanhedrin. And yet, when they heard him speak, And they saw what was done just by the word coming from his mouth. When they saw the great things that were happening, no man laid hands on him.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Why? Because they stood in awe of what was going on. Nobody had ever done for anybody what he was doing just by speaking to them, just by loving on them, just by being kind to them, just by showing them mercy and kindness and grace. Yes. Nobody had ever helped folks like he was helping folks, and no man laid hands on him. And they went back to see, to tell them. When they walked in, they said, "What do you mean coming back empty-handed? Why have you not brought him?" If you'd heard what we'd heard, if you'd seen what we'd seen,
amen,
if you'd have been around where he's been, if you would believe on him like we have believed on him, you wouldn't have touched him either.
That's right.
Because this is the Son of God that walks among us. I think about and you could go throughout the Bible. They would be throughout the whole New Testament. You could go through and find many that he just spoke to and things changed in their life. But I think about the old blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus who'd never seen anything. He'd never been able to see anything at all. Somebody had to help him get dressed. Somebody had to help him to find food to eat. Somebody had to help him get wherever he was going because he was totally blind, couldn't see a thing. He'd made it through the better part of his life when somebody took him by the arm, led him down to a street corner where he sat in the dirt and shook a little vessel of some kind to beg alms of people as they were passing by so that he might buy a morsel of food, so that he might buy some clothing, so that he might help to take care of his bills. He was begging of kindness of people as they went by. When all at once he heard a noise. There was some kind of commotion coming down the street. He wanted to know what that meant. What was that? He couldn't see, but he could hear. One day I was blind and could not see. But oh, how I thank God that he came by where I was and he opened up my ears that I might hear what thus saith the word of God. And it went into my ears and down into my heart to build holy faith that I might open up and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blind Bartimaeus said, "What meaneth this noise?" Oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He and his disciples are passing this way, and there's a great crowd of them as they come down the street. He said, "You mean the one that goes about doing good, the one that I've heard about, the one that people tell me can do no wrong, the one that causes other folks to be able to be healed?" Yeah, that's him. Jesus! Jesus, have mercy on me! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! Shut up, old man. Be quiet. This is the master coming through. He ain't got time to fool with you. You're just small change. You don't mean anything. This is an important man as he comes through. He ain't got time to fool with you, little old you. Thank God. I'm glad he came and stood at the end of the pew and beckoned unto me and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Come, I'll do for you what nobody else can do for you."
Yes.
The more they tried to quieten him down, the louder he got. The more excited he got, the closer Jesus got to him, the more enthused Bartimaeus was. "Jesus, have mercy on me! Jesus, have mercy on me!" And the Bible said he stopped. Jesus stopped in the middle of the road. And he looked in his direction. Anybody here remember when he stopped and looked in your direction?
Amen.
Glory to God. It ought to It ought to do something for you. It ought to churn up and down. That river ought to be a bumping up and down right now. There ought to be some water bubbles flying up inside of you right now. To realize that he stopped where you were.
Amen.
Took the time to come by personally to visit with you.
Amen.
As if he had nowhere else he had to be.
Amen.
Glory to God. He stopped in the middle of the road. And when he stopped in the middle of the road, he said, "Bring him to me." Glory to God.
Amen.
Bring him. Would it be all right if I took me a lap around this building? Bring him to me.
Amen.
They grabbed old Bartimaeus by the arm and they took him over to where Jesus was. Thank God somebody had enough of God about them to grab me by the arm to take me to where Jesus was.
Amen.
To get me to where I could hear him speak to my soul.
Amen.
I was dead in trespasses and in sin, blind, on my way to hell, but Jesus stood and said, "Bring him to me."
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. They took him over, and when they got him, he stood right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow, the Bible doesn't say so, but I kind of imagine, I'm reading between the lines, that Jesus actually reached out and put his hands on his shoulders.
Amen.
And said, "What would you have me to do unto you?" The answer, "Lord, if you ever really call him Lord and mean it from your heart, you're about to do business with him."
Amen.
Yeah. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Well, remember, he's never seen anything. He's never seen his mama. He's never seen his daddy. He's never seen the sunlight. He's never seen the moonlight. He's never been able to see colors. He's never been able to see anything that he put in his mouth. He's blind from birth. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said, "Believe that I can do this? Believest thou that I can do this?" "Yea, Lord. I've already heard about you."
Amen.
"Somebody else has already told me how good you've been to them. Somebody else has already shared with me the mercy that you've shown to them and the grace that you've performed to them. Somebody else has already shared with me your wondrous goodness. Yea, Lord, I believe."
Amen.
Jesus said, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Can you imagine this? The first thing that old blind beggar has ever seen.
Hallelujah.
When he opened up his eyes, the first thing he's ever seen was God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
God was standing in front of him. God had his arms about him.
Amen.
It ain't no wonder to me that when they headed on down the road, Bartimaeus went with them.
Hey.
That he was excited about the fact that Jesus had opened his eyes.
Amen.
And now he could see. And now he could go about and tell somebody else. You know, I was sitting there. I didn't have a dime to my name. I couldn't do a thing for myself. I'd never been able to see anything. And all at once the King of Glory comes by and he calls for me and he opens up my blinded eyes.
Yes.
And now I'm able to tell folks everywhere how good he is.
Amen.
How wonderful he is. How precious he is.
Amen.
What a wonderful Lord.
Amen.
My
Amen.
Jesus is.
Amen.
Never a man spake like this man.
Amen.
No. Not another to be compared to him. I think about Jairus, leader in the synagogue. Had a little 12-year-old girl, deathly sick, dying at home. And Jairus had a good position of authority. A leader in the synagogue. It was something very precious, very special. He didn't get that by being a Sunday morning Christian.
That's right.
Amen. He didn't get that by having a haphazard relationship with the church. The people of the church had voted to give him a position of authority in the church, a leader in the synagogue, that because they trusted him, they respected him, and they wanted to, him to be honored as being a part of their association. Amen. He was a trusted man. I have no doubt he had already taken his little girl to the best doctors in town. I have no doubt that she'd been to the talk to the priest and been prayed for many times. I have no doubt that they've tried to tell her what to do and how to get better. And they've been good to her, but she yet grew worse and worse and worse. You know, moms, dads, there's a lot of things that we just can't do. We're going to come short. There are a lot of things we can't do for our kids and for our grandkids. We just don't have the ability to. We can't save them. We can't change their hearts. Most of the time can't change their minds. Hello? Anybody been a parent here very long, you'll understand that. Most of the time you can't even change their mind. Because they'll have a mind of their own. But Jesus is able to change them from the inside out. Jairus had come to the conclusion that Jesus was the only one who could do anything for his dying daughter. Jesus was going through town. People were following him. There was a whole crowd around him. The Bible said they actually thronged him, which means there was such a crowd, they were pushing and shoving, trying to get close to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to watch him. They wanted to see what he was going to do next. And so they were pushing and shoving, trying to get through to where he was. And the Bible said that Jesus was walking through and Jairus came and fell on his knees before him in the cobblestone street. And he began to beg him to go home with him. Lord, I've got this little girl at my house. We got a problem. She's grievously vexed. She's dying. But I know, by what I've heard, by what I've seen, I know by what others have told me, that if you'll go home with me, she'll be all right. If you'll go to my house and speak to her and touch her, she'll be fine. If you'll just go home with me. Jesus had already agreed he's going to go home with him. They'd head in that direction. When all at once a little lady that had had an issue of blood for 12 years and had grown worse and worse and had spent everything that she had and didn't have anything left to do anything with. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. I've heard about what he's done. I've heard his voice. I know what he can do. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. As they started to Jairus' house, she reached out and touched the hem of his garment.
Amen.
And immediately Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Now you can't convince me he didn't know who had touched him.
That's right.
Amen. He knows everybody that he's ever touched.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. He knows everything. There's not one thing hid from him with whom we have to do. There's nothing hid from him. You might hide it from mom and dad. You might hide it from your husband or your wife, but you'll never hide it from Jesus. He knows all about it.
Right.
He said, who touched me? The disciples looked at each other and said, he's been out in the sun too long. Everybody here wants to touch him.
That's right.
Lord, everybody's trying to get close to you. Everybody wants to touch you. Everybody wants to be near you. He said, yeah, but there's one in particular that needs to testify. Amen. There's one in particular that something really good has happened because I felt virtue go out of me. Somebody has exercised faith. They've reached out. And they've received what they need.
Amen.
That little old lady is sitting there grinning from ear to ear. I can see her now as she raises up that little bony hand and says, it was me. It was me. I knew that if I could just touch him, everything would be fine.
Amen.
And as they all rejoiced together, as they all was having a good time. And I'm sure the disciples were having themselves just a fit right there in the middle of the street, because he's done it again. Amen. He's done it again. He's done it again. Somebody came from Jairus' house and said, "It's too late. There's no need in you bothering the master any longer. Your daughter's already dead." Oh. Can you imagine how his heart fell? Jesus was going home with him. Now this little woman got healed. But it's too late for his girl. Too late for his daughter. I imagine he just fell back to his knees on the ground. "I waited too long. I tried too many other things. I went about it the wrong way." Jesus said two words to him that changed the whole outlook. Just two words. When he looked at Jairus and said, "Only believe."
Amen.
Only believe. In other words, it's still possible.
That's right. Amen.
It's not too late. There's nothing too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
His arm is not too short that he cannot reach down. His ears are not too heavy that he cannot hear. His voice is not too weak that he cannot speak.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Only believe. I imagine Jairus jumped back up to his feet, grabbed the Lord by the arm and said, "This away, Lord, this away." And as they got on closer to Jairus' house, and they were weeping and wailing and making a big to-do. The natural thing was, they were weeping over a 12-year-old girl that had died. I didn't know till I began to study this that you could actually hire people to come cry for you. You see, they didn't have a mall to go to. They didn't have a moving picture show. They didn't have a theater they could go and be in. They didn't have a television in their house. Hello? They didn't have Walmart. They couldn't entertain themselves. And so at that point, you needed somebody to come and act like they cared about you. You could actually hire somebody to come and weep and cry. And the house was full and people were standing outside. And Jesus came up and said, "Why do you make this big to-do?" "The damsel's not dead, she's only asleep." Remember, this is not an itinerant preacher that's coming through town. This is God.
Amen.
There wasn't a problem too big for him.
That's right.
Didn't matter what the situation or the circumstance was, he was able to handle it. But the Bible said they laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn. How many times have we looked at a situation and thought it's impossible? Can't happen. Not ever going to be fixed. Amen. Don't sit there and try to look pious at me. You've been there. Situations come up and we think, can't ever change. But God can change anything.
That's right.
And when we say it can't be done, we're laughing at God. We're mocking Him. We're making fun of the fact that He's able to do anything but fail. He told them, said, "Now you folks just go on about your business, go on back to your house." He sent them away. If you're not going to believe Him, you're not going to see Him do anything either.
That's right.
Amen. If you're not going to trust Him, if you're not going to put your faith in Him, you're not going to see Him do anything for you either.
Amen.
But Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the sons of thunder, and He walked on in. And Jairus led him on into the house. Went back to where the little girl, I'm sure, was laying across the bed in her mama's lap. She was still weeping and crying because this, her 12-year-old girl, had just died. She was lamenting over the fact that they didn't do something right. They'd failed. They'd come short. They weren't able to do for her what needed to be done. Her little girl was gone. When Jesus walked into the room, walked over by the bed and reached down and took the little girl by the hand. And he said, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise.
Hey.
Can you see her now as she sits up in the bed? Turns around and bats those big black eyes. Amen. Looked all around and grinned from ear to ear. And said, I'm hungry.
Amen.
Amen. What's everybody doing in here? What's been going on? What did I miss?
Amen.
Jesus said, I recommend you give her something to eat. Feed her. He wasn't talking about taking her to McDonald's either. He was talking about feeding her from the Word of God.
Amen.
Bringing her up in the right way. Teaching her and admonishing her that she needs to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. He's still speaking.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. He's still speaking. He still talks to me on a regular basis. If I only slow down enough, he'll speak to me every day. He speaks to me through his word. He speaks to me through the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
He speaks to me through my heart and through the feelings that come from knowing that you know that you know that you are saved by the grace of God, that you're a part of the family of God. He still speaks to us.
Yeah. Amen.
He still impresses us about what his will is. He still wants to bless and encourage and enable to strengthen. He still wants us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
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 It's amazing how many people are walking around today. And I've learned, preacher, over the last 50-something years that I've been following him, walking with him, trying to serve him, that there are some folks that you look in their face and tell that you better not ask how they're doing.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. You look at them, they look like they've been weaned on dill pickles and been drinking vinegar juice.
Right. Amen.
You better not ask them how they're doing, because if you do, you're going to be as depressed as they are when you get out of there. It's amazing how many people look like they've just absolutely soured on the whole world. They never have a smile. They never have a good word. All they want to do is murmur and complain and criticize and talk about somebody else.
Lord help us.
Amen. But Jesus is still able to speak. He's able to say, peace, be still.
Hey.
Times when I feel like I don't have anybody I can talk to, that nobody's listening, that nobody cares.
Amen.
He'll say, come right over here. Get up in my lap and let me hold you a while.
Amen.
I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't let you down. I'm not going to turn my back on you.
Amen.
You're still precious to me.
Amen.
Never a man spake like this man.
That's right. Amen.
And he wants to speak. All of us who are his children. Because he has no respecter of persons, he loves every one of us the same amount.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Even though at times I feel like I'm his pet. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet, please. Dear remember a time when he spoke to your heart?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember a time when he spoke peace to your soul? Do you remember a time when he called your name, called you out of the darkness of this world into his marvelous light? Do you remember when he called you out of death unto life?
Yes.
He still wants to speak to you today. He wants to be close to you. The only way he can be close to you is if you want to be close to him.
Amen.
Is there something in your heart and in your life tonight that is keeping him from being as real and as powerful and as precious to you as he once was? Is there something in your heart and your life tonight that you need to go and confess to him and say, Lord, take it away, that you might be my all and in all, that you might mean more to me than anything else does? I invite you tonight to come to this altar. Revival can still happen, you know. It can still take place if we want it to. But it has to be the desire of our heart, because it's already the desire of his heart. Let him speak to you tonight. Don't turn away his invitation. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to speak. But will you let him? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you might touch. Lord, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Help us, we pray, to love you more than ever. Help us to listen to what you've got to tell us. Help us to learn of you. Oh God, help us to apply your life to ours. May we have your mind, your heart, your spirit, your love. In Jesus' name, amen.